This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation here on Patriots.com Radio. AFC Championship just a few days away. Patriots and Broncos, we're going to have the full preview, the breakdown, whatever you want to call it. We got it here on Football Nation. We're also going to the NFC Championship game with the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. I'm Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. What's going on, Todd?
It all comes down to this, Bill. It all comes down to this. Three games, my friend. What do you think about that?
Well, there's two games this weekend.
Three games that matter that are left.
Yeah,
I can't believe that. That's the way to, glass half empty. That's the depressing way to look at it. You know, there's no games on Saturday this week. You have to wait till 3 o'clock for games on Sunday. And by the way, you know, I know you're against this as well. You know, the NFL flip-flops the AFC and the NFC each and every year, so there's equality with the networks. But I think we both agree. Come on, Pats Broncos. That's got to be prime time, baby.
Yeah, I'm a little upset that the game wasn't the Pats and the Broncos aren't the second game of the week. You know, the second matchup.
Well, you know, we'll reveal our unbelievable big and bold predictions later in the show. But most people think that the Broncos Patriots game is going to obviously be more high scoring than a team that you know, has two defenses. I'd much rather go from a low scoring slugfest to a high scoring affair than vice versa. As a viewer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Because remember when the Chiefs and the Colts were on?
Yep, exactly.
And that was a high scoring slugfest.
And then Saints Eagles.
Not a high scoring slugfest, a high scoring affair. And then Saints Eagles was kind of eh.
It was 7-6 at half.
Yeah, right.
It picked up second half, but yeah, it was a it's slowing down, going from fast to slow. I'd rather go the other way around. You know.
As we're getting started here, I want to give a quick shout-out to our producer, Kevin Collins. What's going on, Kev?
Not much, guys. Just had to co-host for 2 hours, so my pipes are a little sore.
So that means we don't have to deal with you just, like, barraging into our conversations?
Yeah, I'll be nice and quiet.
I mean, this is potentially the last show, and you're going to choose to be quiet today?
Choosing? I got sore pipes.
Well, that's just
try to fight through it just for you, though, Bill.
That shows the lack of muscle tone you have, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. I'm not as talented as you and Todd.
He's
and
not
you
used to working. For a living. Not used to working, Bill.
I'm not used to working. He's just pressing buttons usually.
Yeah, it's easy.
His fingers are all jacked up, but no.
Bill, do you think that Kevin?
The ladies love that.
I think here's what Kevin does. He pushes the button for the intro, the music, right? And then I think he just, like, grabs a slice of pizza.
Autopilot.
And just kicks back in the chair. And then, you know, eventually it's like he might say it's time for commercial, like, in 45 minutes or so. And I think that's pretty much how he rolls.
Yeah, it's like the champagne room back here. I let the ladies in usually about 4:05, popping bottles, doing all that nonsense.
I don't know about that. Bill and I have been there in your studio.
Yeah.
There's no sense that a lady's ever been in that room, ever.
There's one picture of, like, Mary McCormick in the entire area.
Looker.
And, you know, she's a nice actress, but
hot back in, like, 1995.
Exactly. It's not like you guys have pictures of, like, I don't know, a supermodel now, like a Kate Upton in there.
Very attractive young ladies from marketing that come through here all the time.
Yeah, but they work with you.
So, like, doesn't mean they're not attractive young ladies.
It means that you have zero shot of happening. Or is anything going down?
Well, I don't want anything. I'm happily taken, Bill.
Yeah.
You got to
do hang me out to dry here? Home wrecker.
Bill's going to be awfully quiet because he's got Super Bowl parties coming up, Kev. So.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so pumped up.
Kevin, the Super Bowl's coming to Enright's backyard.
My domain, baby.
We're never going to hear the end of it. It could be a 47-10 blowout. It'll be best Super Bowl ever.
Never going to hear the end of it. You might never hear from me again after next week.
You're going to have some crazy story. Something's going to happen with you. You know what I mean?
It's going to wake up in some Chinese family's rec room.
Richard Sherman's going to wake up passed out in his basement or something. Something's going to happen.
Start a fire in someone's kitchen.
Gronk. Maybe Gronk shows up, Bill, your house? You think?
Soy fiesta.
There's a couple. Something fun should certainly happen.
Cerveza. You got the cerveza drop, Kev? No?
Amigo con grande cabeza.
We should have a good time in a couple.
Two games to get to before the fun begins.
Two games in that stupid Pro Bowl. I got to deal with that in between.
You don't have to deal with it if you don't want to, Bill.
You know what I mean. Like, I have to get through that, and then after the Pro Bowl, and then everything starts.
I mean, Football Nation, we're going to inevitably get stories on it, and we're going to have to read them and edit them and put them up and publish them. So I guess I'm with you.
You know, the funny thing about the Pro Bowl is as soon as the Pro Bowl ends, like, a lot of those players that are going to be in Hawaii, they're going to have to be up in the New York area, you know, a few days. It's not like they get to hang out in Hawaii for too long.
Well,
I guess maybe.
Let's think about it, though, Bill. You've been to two Super Bowls. How does it work? When do the players arrive?
Meaning the players that aren't playing.
Right. When do the players that are there to party, when do they arrive?
I think like Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday.
And most of them leave before the game, right? Sunday morning?
Yeah,
Saturday night?
I guess.
What
See,
do you think?
A lot of the celebrities stick around.
Okay.
A lot of the celebrities stick around, but not a lot of the, I don't think a lot of the players stick around, because I don't think they want to see another team competing for the Lombardi. They're here for the parties and for some interviews during, you know, Radio Row and stuff like that. The celebs actually want to go to the game.
Well, they need to be seen.
They need to be seen.
It's huge for them. The players don't really need to be seen at the game. You know?
I was a few rows away from the money team with Floyd Mayweather and 50 Cent 2 years ago during the Indianapolis Super Bowl.
Mm.
Now, one could argue I had better seats than they did.
Really?
I was in the lower tier. Yeah, I was in the lower tier. But, I mean, they had a suite. They had
so
a box.
How can you have better seats?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were up. They were like up 20 rows.
But they have a seat. They have a suite.
Right. Well, they have a suite. That's what I'm saying. But in terms of looking at their game, I mean, I was closer to the field.
There you go.
It depends what
you
you're.
Hang your hat
what
on
you're,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
The money team. Take a back seat to me.
So they arrive, what do you say, Tuesday, Wednesday?
I think Wednesday, Thursday, more towards Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday. And what is the single biggest party night, Thursday or Friday or Saturday?
I think Friday night is probably the biggest party night. Remember, Todd, the NFL award ceremony is on Saturday, and that's live. So we'll find out the MVP and the Rookie of the Year and all that kind of stuff on Saturday night. That's also the Taste of the NFL, which is a really cool charity event that I hope to be going back to this year with a chef from every team from around the league. Our good friend Steve DiFilippo is one of the chefs. He represents the Patriots. So there's one chef from every team and also a former player from that team. I forget who the Pats player was last year. I can look it up real quick. But that's a Saturday night event, too. And that's a lot of fun because, you know, I love to eat.
Yes.
And, I mean, like, it's not just, like, you're not getting macaroni and cheese. You're getting
funny because he's fat.
Exactly. I mean, you're getting the best food from some of the best chefs from around the league.
Right.
Steve Grogan was the player last year.
Grogan.
Steve Grogan. Bill Grogan's goat.
Nice.
But I would think the biggest party night is probably Friday. Probably Friday night. Now, you know what Bud Light is doing with this cruise ship?
Yeah.
They're bringing a cruise ship. If you haven't been to New York City, obviously the Hudson River runs, you know, on the west side of the city. So there's the Intrepid, the USS Intrepid, which is a retired, what are those things called, Todd? Air carrier.
Right, aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier, correct. They're turning that into like a big concert stage. They're parking a big cruise ship next to the Intrepid, so there's going to be a Bud Light hotel there. That's going to be concerts and parties, really cool area. But the residents of 48th and 49th Street aren't too pleased with Bud Light coming into town and throwing a big party right in their neighborhood. So you know, it'll be pretty interesting. I might have to do this, actually. I'm just thinking out loud here. I might have to get some quotes from some of those people. Why are they being Super Bowl Scrooges? The Grinches of the gridiron. What's up with them?
If anybody is the man to do it, Bill, it is you.
I might have to go down on Saturday.
Man of the people.
I might have to go ruffle a few feathers about that.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, we're looking.
Make sure you have some security with you when you do that.
I am my own security.
You cannot handle yourself, no.
I am my own security. I mean, this is
brass knuckles. You just slip them on and
brass knuckles. My fists are made of iron. I'm like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
All
right. So you're going to be on the Super Bowl party boat, as you're saying. Are you going to find your way on there? What does it cost to get on that thing?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? Have you already looked into this?
No, because one of my moron friends texted me and said, I'm trying to find rates for the Bud Light Hotel online, but can't find anything. And I simply replied, like, you're an idiot.
He's looking for rates?
You think they sell rooms for the Bud Light Hotel to the public? No, it's all.
What is he on, like, Travelocity? And he's like, oh, Marriott,
exactly.
Super Bowl boat party.
Exactly.
Hotel.
That's what I was like. Are you kidding me with this? So I don't know. I don't think if you're staying on the Bud Light Hotel, you're probably not paying for the room. I think it's something that Bud Light gives to a lot of their sponsors, a lot of their distributors, a lot of celebrities, a lot of people that are sponsored by Bud Light, and those type of industry pull personnel.
What are the chances someone falls off the boat?
I would think very high.
Into the drink.
Yeah, I would think very high. And you do not want to be swimming around in the Hudson.
No, it's like Kramer. Remember when he was swimming in the Hudson?
I think yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of.
There were a lot of other people swimming in the Hudson. They just weren't moving too much, if you catch my drift.
Yesterday was a 5-year anniversary, or maybe 2 days ago, of when that pilot landed in the Hudson River.
Sully, right. Sullenberger.
Sully, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, great American hero. Sully.
It was. Captain that was Sully. An amazing story.
Sure.
I'll never forget that day, walking in and, like, literally looking on the screen and seeing a plane floating in the river and being like, oh, that's like a movie shoot or something.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yep.
But no, speaking about the, you know, falling off the boat, Bill,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a situation here where we had one of these party cruises in Boston this past summer.
Oh, that's cool.
And one,
well, wait, what do you mean by, well, what do you mean we? Like, well, a Patriots
well,
thing?
No, no, the Patriots didn't have one, but there was like this big, there was like a big boat that came into town, and it was like in town for like a week. And every night they like basically sold tickets to go out. It was like after dinner. I think it left from the seaport area at like 8 o'clock. And
okay.
You'd go out, and it was like, I think it was mostly for like single people going out trying to like hook up or whatever.
Oh, so it wasn't a Patriots affiliated.
No. But it was like a big thing, like that it was like in town or whatever. And we actually, one of the DJs, because it was like a multi-tiered ship, it had like multiple levels, like with different types of music.
Sure, sure.
One of the DJs is a good friend of mine. He does a lot of engineering work with me, and he works for WEEI, and his son's a good friend of mine. And he does, you know, in addition to his talk radio stuff, he does, like, weddings and whatever just to make money on the side. So he got hired to, like, DJ on one of these, like, ship, or on the ship, but on one of these floors. And a guy actually got so drunk, he ended up trying to do a handstand on one of the rails
mm-hmm.
and fell 3 stories to his death off the boat.
And he died?
They never found his body. Ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, they went in the water.
I wasn't expecting that to be in that story.
This whole investigation. So, Bill, if you're going on one of these things, at least wear a life jacket. So, you know, if you conk your head or something on the way down and you die, you're at least floating so Todd and I can find you.
Unless anything changes, I can pretty much guarantee I won't be on any boats.
No, you're not going to be partying on a boat?
No.
Bud Light
hotel boat, I'm not going
to. I mean, it's going to be pretty chilly probably to be out on the deck of a boat, I will say.
Exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not. There's no need for me to go check out the Bud Light Hotel. But
really?
I think it's a really cool concept.
No, it's a really cool concept, and it also alleviates some of the stress on the other hotels in that area, probably, right?
No, huh? I mean, there's so many hotels. That's the thing about, like, I think Kerry and I were talking about this on Tuesday. You were probably sleeping, Kev.
I vaguely remember.
No, there's just so many available locations for overnight stay in terms of hotels, motels, whatever you have. That it's not like the Bud Light cruise ship hotel is rescuing any stranded patrons.
Yeah, there's so many hotels. That's not an issue.
No, not
like
an
you
issue
guys were
all.
Saying last show. I mean, Indianapolis is a whole different world. You know,
right?
You got 5 or 6 viable and nice hotels downtown Indianapolis. New York City, you got 500 or 600. You know, so
now, Kev, if the Pats win, you'll be staying in Jersey City.
I guess. I haven't got any like word on where we would stay yet. I don't think they're looking ahead that far, but
well, no, I'm telling you, that's where you're
staying. That's where they're staying, all right. Beats IUPUI, although they were great people out there.
Beats what?
IUPUI is where we stayed in Indy. Indiana University, Purdue University. It was like some crazy name. But, yeah, so I'd love to stay in Jersey City.
Which is, you know, right next to Hoboken, which I think should be a pretty...
Yeah, Hoboken's a great little town.
I think it'll be a really cool week of Super Bowl.
Yeah, Hoboken's a great little town, a lot of young people.
A lot of New Jersey businesses, political figures are upset that New York City is getting a lot of the spotlight here. But, I mean, let's be honest. New York City is New York City. Very, very few cities can even try to compete.
Yeah.
Vegas, Miami, South Beach,
yeah.
Dubai, something, you know, ridiculous, like top of the line, you know, top five cities in the world. New Jersey, I mean, the game's being played here.
Mm-hmm.
The media day is at the Prudential Center where the New Jersey Devils play. So there are some events that are happening in New Jersey, but the action is going to be in New York City.
Yeah, isn't their whole shtick like, oh, this, you know, the Super Bowl is so big it takes two states to host it or something like that?
I ain't heard of that.
Yeah, I thought I saw a couple marketing kind of shticks about how, you know, they're trying to lump basically New Jersey and doing them a favor. But it is what it is.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to see you here in a couple weeks, Kev.
That would be fun.
I mean, it would be nice.
What happens if the Patriots win? What happens the week of, you know, Super Bowl media week with our show?
Yeah, I would say that we would do a show next week. We would do shows Tuesday, Thursday, and then we would be done.
No, I don't think we're doing shows next week.
No? No shows next week? That's fine with me.
I don't know. We got to figure that out.
But I think in the worst case, we would do it. We would definitely, I don't think, do any shows the week leading into the Super Bowl. You know, there's two
weeks. Why not?
First of all, I wouldn't be here, and our equipment wouldn't be here, because we would be doing shows live from New York City.
Yeah, and?
So you guys wouldn't be able to dial into this studio.
Well, I could be there live, dude.
That is true. We could do that. As long as you were in the area, we could do shows, like, right from wherever the heck we were doing.
Broadcasting live from Times Square, Football Nation.
That's a good question, because, like, we haven't even, I don't think, you know, trying to take it one step at a time. We had a mobile studio set up in the team hotel in Indy. I'm not even sure we would set that up this year. I have no idea.
They won't let Bill in the team hotel.
Why not? I don't know. Fred would have to, like, probably do a favor.
Trust me.
Because there was, like, nobody. You needed, like, this ultra special. Like, they wouldn't even let, like, me bring my dad into the team hotel.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. I couldn't even get him. I had to, like, walk out of the hotel and, like, away from, like, the lobby area to just go meet my dad, like, when he got in Indy.
Todd and I have media credentials. We can go wherever we want.
Yeah. The team hotel is a little different, I think, for media.
Isn't that where they have the AFC press conference at the team hotel?
Maybe, like, but they had what they did it, at least in India, is they had like, so it was this giant, like almost like dormitory complex, and in one area they had like a big ballroom, and that's where they did like the press conferences,
right,
for Coach Belichick and Brady,
right?
And I think Belichick did one almost every day.
He did.
They would have that there, but then like it was like basically unattached and like a 10-minute walk from like the main body of the hotel. It was like you could stay inside. But it was all connected, but you had to, like, it was like you weren't getting in the lobby of the hotel, we'll put it that way.
Really?
Yeah, they had it set up, like, for that specific purpose. I think it's, like, a security thing, is they don't want anybody, like, coming in trying to do anything. I don't know. But we'll see how it is. I mean, probably, Bill, each place is probably different, you know? So who knows?
I'd be very interested to see how that works out with the teams being in Jersey City, but most of the media coverage coming from New York City.
But if the Patriots are fortunate enough to win this game on Sunday, we would have shows Tuesday and Thursday next week, no?
I mean, I don't know, because what would we be previewing? The Pro Bowl?
No, you're just talking football, probably.
That's a little much.
I don't know.
What do you mean? You're talking about the Super Bowl. Teams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's 10 days away next Thursday.
Yeah, I'll have to see what Fred, I'll write an email to Fred.
That's a good idea. I think Fred would probably agree with me. We need live action from Football Nation.
If what you're saying is true, Bill, then this is the last show, no matter what.
What I was under the impression that this was the last show if the Pats lose, and if the Pats win, we continue until they lose.
Right, next week, and the week after.
But they wouldn't be losing next week. If they win this weekend, they'll still be playing.
You're making no sense, my friend.
I'm making plenty of sense. You're just not listening, clearly.
You just don't want to talk football anymore.
You're tapped out. Todd, if the Pats win this weekend...
Yes, they're in the Super Bowl.
Right, and our show goes until they lose...
Right.
We would still have shows, regularly scheduled shows, for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you just said that we don't have any shows next week.
No, I was saying that we have shows the week leading into the Super Bowl.
Okay. Kevin, are you listening to this?
No. Writing an email.
Okay.
Oh, you're writing an email now?
Trying to get an answer.
Well, Fred just hit me up on Twitter, or he retweeted what I said on Twitter.
So he's probably on his computer.
Yeah, I know he's around his computer.
Maybe he'll have an answer then.
Maybe he'll have an answer. Could be a very quick answer to our dilemma here. I hope I'm right, because I've been wrong about so many damn things this year.
You just said two different things.
It'd be really nice to get a win. Well, then, if I said two different things, then I'm definitely getting a win one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, good.
One thing we know, if the Patriots lose, we're done. This is it. Then this is
that's
the final
it.
Show.
That is correct.
Correct.
Okay, we know that.
We know that for a fact. Yeah. But I'm saying if the Patriots win, we should have maybe one show next week. Not two shows. Especially if we're going to have a show week of the Super Bowl. Because listen, we can recap the AFC and the NFC Championship games on Tuesday. On Thursday, we're going to preview the Super Bowl on Thursday, 10 days before the big game. We're not going to talk about the Pro Bowl, who Deion Sanders picked, who Jerry Rice picked.
Isn't the sole purpose of having the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl just to add to the hype?
There's only so much hype that we can add.
Yeah. Bill, Kevin is going to line next week's show with so many A-list guests.
It's not so much about it. It's just like the hype. I mean, people if the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, people are going to be like starving for content. That's just my point.
Uh-huh. I agree.
So who knows?
We'll find out.
We will find out.
We'll find out when Fred emails me back.
All right. Well, I can't wait. We'll have breaking news, hopefully, sometime from Fred Kirsch throughout the rest of the program. Until then, can't wait. Exactly. Until then, there are some news and notes, Todd, from around the NFL, some sources that have nothing to do with the AFC-NFC Championship, have nothing to do with the Super Bowl because they were knocked out or didn't even make the playoffs. But here we are talking about the New York Jets, AFC East rivals for the Patriots. They gave Rex Ryan a contract extension, multi-year contract extension, despite going 8-8 this year, 6-10 last year, and then 8-8 two seasons ago.
I was reading somewhere that this is like window dressing. It's not
eating
really
a bunch of f-ing cheeseburgers.
This is why it's good to be a Patriots fan, Bill. The Jets do stuff like this. You know, Rex Ryan, he's one of those motivational coaches, Bill, whose message kind of wears thin after several years at one location, I think. You know? I mean, they're dancing in the locker room going 8-8 this year.
And they're happy about it. You missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're just going to continue to be a 7-9, 8-8 team.
It seems to me like this is just another move by Woody Johnson to keep the Jets in the press. Because what are they doing a contract extension now for? Like, what?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's end of the year. I don't know. They want to go off in the offseason because he's going to go, you know, look at feet down in the Bahamas probably soon for a few weeks.
Mm.
Rex, isn't that this time of year when he does that?
And he shows off his wife's tattoo of Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
And Mark Sanchez.
It's that time of year. So before he gets on the jet beautiful. To do that, you know, he's got to get the feet.
You actually have a clip of that Rex Ryan foot fetish video? Kev,
put your feet in. You can leave that. Yeah, most men like to do a lot of things with those feet. Wow, they're like really soft. They're like really soft.
That has to be one of the creepiest videos.
Smell.
What do you say there?
Do they smell?
Smell. Can't touch them. Thank you.
Well, that's the good news, Bill, is that we get a couple more years of Rex Ryan.
I mean, for Pats fans, you guys should be happy.
Exactly. I mean, and his radio hosts were happy because he always is good for ridiculous comments.
Right.
And his teams always find a way to bungle games and seasons.
That's true, too.
So from that standpoint, it's a good thing. If you're a Jets fan, you know, what do? Are you happy? No. Are there any Jets fans out there, Bill, that are, they're still like, I think he can do it. I think he can turn us around. What percent of Jets fans are like that? You live up in that area. How many Jets fans do you know are fired up that Rex Ryan's going to be around potentially for a couple more years?
You know, Jets fans are so fickle that, you know, they'll boo their draft pick and then cheer him the next day. Or they'll celebrate with their coach and then curse at him and throw beer at him the next day. So I think right now they're happy that Rex Ryan is sticking around. But let them start off the year next year with Geno Smith under center, and I think they'll be just as upset once all over again.
Okay. Yep. All right, what other news and notes do we have, Bill?
How about the Minnesota Vikings hiring defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer, former defensive coordinator from the Cincinnati Bengals. Both of the Bengals coordinators, Todd, got jobs as head coaches this year. Jay Gruden, John Gruden's little brother, took the head coaching job with the Washington Redskins. And now Mike Zimmer's hired as the coach for the Minnesota Vikings.
Good luck, Vikings.
You think about the NFC North for a second here. The Chicago Bears were top three in terms of points per game this year. The Lions have a high-octane offense, and the Packers have a high-octane offense. So the Vikings literally, and both metaphorically and literally, make a defensive move by hiring a defensive-minded head coach. It's like they know they can't compete with them on offense, so they might as well get a defensive coach to try to slow down what their division rivals have been doing.
I think it was a game of musical chairs, and they were left standing without a chair.
Hmm.
All the coaches came and went, and the Vikings' job is still out there. I mean, the Browns are still out there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Browns and the Vikings, you know, nobody wants to go there. So they do what they can. They just try to make the best out of a bad situation. It's no surprise that the top dogs, the top names, the top coaching candidates, Bill, didn't really give a sniff to Cleveland or Minnesota.
I'm with you there. I mean, the Cleveland job still is I think the last one that hasn't been filled.
Yeah. Now they're obviously waiting for somebody who's in the playoffs still. Got
it. It is usually around this time of year that ESPN and NFL.com release their mock drafts. And we have the first mock draft from Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN. He has Johnny Football, Todd, Johnny Manziel, as the number one pick this year.
Well, is Mel doing that to cause a stir at ESPN up there in Bristol? Because now they're going to talk about that for the next, you know, until he comes out with his next one.
You think it's just a little bit of a publicity move?
I'm asking the question.
It could be.
Maybe he legitimately thinks Johnny's going to be a top five pick, and he's like, I might as well put him at one right now. It's my first mock. No one's going to care if I'm wrong, and it'll generate a bunch of buzz. And every show, every radio show on ESPN Ocho to ESPNU can talk about it for a month.
Right.
And us, by the way. We're mentioning it now. So we're guilty as well.
I mean, that would... That would be, you know, I wouldn't put it past ESPN to be doing that.
Do you remember earlier in the year where Ron Jaworski said Colin Kaepernick could wind up being one of the greatest quarterbacks ever?
Yes,
all right, so that's an ESPN employee saying that. And what happened? For like 2 days, it was this huge story on ESPN on the ticker. They made their own story.
Right.
The ticker said, Ron Jaworski says Colin Kaepernick could be greatest quarterback ever. It's like, okay. So, you know, you can't self-generate stories.
Well, they're very good at doing that, though.
Yeah. So anyway, I got some because of their track record doing that. I question whether, you know, at this point in time, early in the game, whether Mel thinks that or not. Now, maybe he does. I don't know. But the interesting thing is, Bill, I think it's pretty much a no-brainer unless something happens, you know, with an injury or some stupid off-the-field things. Johnny Manziel is going to be one of the top picks in the draft. He's going to be in that top five, top ten.
Yeah, and certainly if the teams that have those top five picks right now stick with those picks, if no one makes any trades or anything, that'll certainly still be the case. Because right now the Texans have the number one pick, but word on the street is they may look to change it out. They may look to trade out.
Yeah, but, you know, do you believe that story? I mean, it's so early.
Any
team would trade out if the price is right. Any year, any team, always. There's always a possibility for that. Where would you want to see Johnny Manziel land? From, like, just a selfish standpoint, you know, whether it's fantasy or just a place where you'll get to watch him a lot. I mean, if he lands in Minnesota, Bill, I mean, you know, that's not a great place for him to be. You're not going to ever see him again. You know what I mean? Where would you, of the teams that kind of need quarterbacks, where do you think you would like Johnny to fall?
I think he would have instant success with the Texans. I mean, it's no joke. It's no surprise that we all think the Texans are the best team as it is right now, right, in terms of the talent on their squad?
What do you mean the best team? Best out of what?
Best out of these teams that are going to be drafting a new quarterback
yes,
this year.
They have the best chance to pull a Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree with you. I mean, look at the other teams that need quarterbacks, Bill. I mean, number two, St. Louis, probably not. They're going to probably stick with Bradford. Jacksonville at three. Nobody wants to go to Jacksonville. Cleveland at four, no. Who knows with Oakland at five, but they could always use a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Atlanta doesn't need one. Tampa Bay, probably stick with Glennon. You know, Lovie Smith down there now. I don't think he's going to take a high pick on a quarterback, right?
Right.
He's probably going to build it with the running game and the defense. Minnesota at eight. You don't want him going there. Buffalo has their young QB in Detroit at 10. So not a lot of great options if you're – I mean, you need to go to Houston or you're going to wind up in a pretty crappy destination.
Minnesota at 8 with Adrian Peterson and Manziel. Do you think that could be an interesting combo?
I guess. Who's he throwing to? Cordell Patterson?
Cordell Patterson.
If you're Johnny, would you rather land in Minnesota, Cleveland, or Jacksonville? Take Houston out of the mix.
Minnesota, Cleveland, or Jacksonville. Jeez.
Exactly, right?
If I'm Johnny, I'd probably want to go to Jacksonville only because you're in Florida and the women there are beautiful and it's warm weather and you can have a lot of fun there. I'm sure you'd get a nice place in South Beach
Wouldn't it be interesting?
Too.
Did you see how Johnny signed?
And there's no income tax in Florida.
Did you see how LeBron? He signed with LeBron's people?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, they're going to like represent him. Wouldn't it be funny if he landed in Cleveland just like LeBron? And then he tries to get the hell out of there. He pulls an Eli Manning or John Elway. He's like, I won't play there. Is that possible? Is that a storyline we should be writing about at Football Nation?
It could be.
You think LeBron's going to be supportive if the Browns pick him? his newfound NFL jewel? Because no matter how poorly or well Johnny plays, he's going to make a lot of money for a lot of people, at least initially.
Not himself, though.
Well, you know what I mean. There's going to be endorsements all over the place.
Yeah, plenty of endorsements. You're
leading
right
up until his rookie year, and then from there, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, what else is going on in the news, Bill?
Did you see – we were talking about the AFC East before with Rex Ryan. Did you hear another story from the AFC East? Ryan Tannehill's lovely wife, Lauren, left an AR-15 in her rental car, Todd. Are you familiar with an AR-15?
I saw the picture, so yes, I am familiar with it now.
It's a high-capacity semi-automatic assault rifle, basically the civilian version of the military M16. And she was riding dirty with one in her car, a rental car, and she forgot to take it out before she returned the car.
So she left it in the trunk. The next person goes, whatever, Hertz, Avis, whatever, rents the Ford Tempo, pops the trunk to throw a suitcase back there. There's a gigantic rifle sitting back there. That's basically what happened here?
Yeah.
And then they trace it back to her, and it makes it a kind of story. What the hell is she doing with that thing? Did she say?
You know, I've seen a picture of her at the shooting range. Now, keep in mind, Todd, she is from Texas.
Right.
And we know those people down in Texas, they love their weapons. So, you know, maybe that's just a product of her environment. She grew up with guns and...
You think that's sexy?
I do. I do think it's sexy, actually. Something about a hot-looking woman firing, like, a high-powered weapon. Something about that is just, it's kind of like Pamela Anderson in that movie Barbed Wire. The movie stunk, but you watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Lauren Tannehill fits that mold.
There you go. Well, no one's going to mess with the Tannehills for a while.
You think she has that in case Ryan messes around? Like, she, like, scares off all his groupies with that thing?
Did you see the scope on that thing? I mean,
it was huge, yeah. Like, she
could shoot hundreds of yards away. I wouldn't mess with the Tannehills. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Final news and note from around the league, Todd. Fox is testing out a new, and I'd like to get Kevin's opinion on this too. Fox is testing out a new piece of camera equipment. This weekend in the NFC Championship game, the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers, we're not sure if they're going to show this during the broadcast, but they are going to test it out with their camera. An infrared camera, Todd, that is supposed to show a player's temperature before, during, and at the peak of the... See, Kevin, you would find this interesting. I don't know why.
Because I would be, like, burning red the whole time down there. I mean, I'm a mess.
But of course. I mean, that's what's expected. So why does Fox feel the need to show this to the fans? If you don't know what an infrared camera is...
It's just something new, I guess. It's a new toy.
All right, well, before you make your opinion,
Fox.
Just look... Yeah.
Fox,
well, yeah, Bill, before you make your opinion, let them try it out and see how it goes before you hate on it.
Is that what I'm going to say?
No.
That's not what Todd's about to say.
No, I'm going to say...
But Bill's all hating on it.
I am hating on it because, first of all, if you don't know what an infrared camera is, it basically makes you... You know the
Predator.
Movie,
the Predator.
Yeah, as long as it won't show my little boy parts, I'm good with it. Like those airport scanners, I'm good with
it. The movie Predator, the Predator sees in infrared. It shows, like, heat temperatures in like a yellow, red, blue, kind of orangey
blob.
Right. So when players are warming up in the game, maybe they'd be yellow. During the middle of the third quarter, maybe they're going to be red. The point I'm trying to make, guys, is who the heck cares? I mean, yeah, their infrared is going to be, I would hope it's red when, you know, it's in the middle of the third quarter and they're finishing up on an 80-yard drive. But isn't that expected? Like, why do I want to see a player's temperature? I don't understand why anyone would think that's cool.
I'm with you, Bill. I don't get it. I mean, these are the same people, Fox, that gave us the glowing hockey puck, right?
And when was that? Back in the 90s, right?
Yeah. How long did that last?
Not very long.
No, I think they gave it a season or two, and then that was that. A glowing hockey puck, Bill. I mean, that was... So, I don't know what their point is with this. The only thing that would be interesting to me is maybe comparing all the players on the field against Jim Harbaugh when he has one of his famous sideline tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe then he would be like, he would turn white, like white hot. That would be the only thing to me that I'd be looking for. Other than that, orange and yellow blobs, I'm not interested in that. Especially now, Bill. I mean, why don't you test this stuff out in, like, the preseason? Right? And if it's cool then you roll with it.
Like, why bring it up? I understand what you're saying. Why bring it around in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl? Were they afraid that some of the other networks were going to steal it?
I don't know. I don't know. But these are obviously the most watched games, and unless it's just such incredible technology that they think it's just this is the time to unveil it, then I don't need it. Give me the games, dude. Give me the ball games.
Yeah, I don't really care about for this infrared. Even the Fox executive came on and said, let's see, here's the quote from Eric Shanks, who's the COO, the chief operating officer of Fox Sports. He says, I don't know what story that tells, but it might make for some pretty cool pictures. Pretty cool pictures? Who the hell wants to see pretty cool pictures? Lee, I want to see the game. I only care about the game.
I agree.
We're going to get to our NFC and AFC championship previews here. We just wanted to take a little bit of a tour around the NFL. Update some of you fans out there that what's been happening outside of the New England area, in case you missed it. You can give us a call with your predictions, 855-728-7500, 855-PATS500, and, of course, you can always email us, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to the phone lines now where our good friend Olivier in Virginia has been patiently waiting. What's up, Olivier?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing all right. What do you got for us?
I beg your pardon?
What do you got for us today?
I thought that today would be a good day for me to call and discuss with you a little bit how the atmosphere was in the studio pertaining to this weekend's games. And I'm like, you know, I'm a Patriots fan, and just like Kevin, I think that this game between the Broncos and the Pats is going to be very, very close and very competitive. But you know, there's I cannot just justify my picking with my heart, and I'm wondering if I'm looking at the matchups, I think that Broncos offense can be stellar, and I think the weather is going to be really conducive for Manning to excel, hopefully, for him and obviously the Broncos teams and fans. But our secondary is a little bit is much better than before. But I think ultimately for us to compete against them, we need to score points in a lot of them. And I think that we're going to be running the ball, but I think we're missing Gronk, and that's the major issue that I think we are facing. And I'm not really sure that we're going to be able to go down there and upset the heavy favorites. Even though I think this is a position that Brady loves to have because it fuels him and it gives him more motivation to prove everyone wrong. So I'm still predicting a Bronco victory, like a 34-31 type of thing.
Here's the thing, Olivier. You know, Tom Brady has been playing without Rob Gronkowski for a few weeks now.
Agreed.
And you've seen the transformation of the Patriots offense to a more balanced attack of a committee in the backfield with the running backs and a mix of Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman, mostly Edelman, making plays in the passing attack.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Rob Gronkowski playing the first time around when these two teams met, I believe it was back in week 12, he had a big game. But he's not going to be around, and he hasn't been around for a few weeks now. So I think the Pats immediately moved past that once they realized that Gronk wouldn't be back. Coach Belichick is not some guy that kind of sulks and worries about things that he can't control. Some guy goes out, it's next man up, and they move on, and they modify their game plan. That's what is making this Patriots run so damn impressive, both on offense and on defense.
Yeah. And by the way, it should be also stated that for the Pats to have reached, again, the championship with the injuries and the lack of offense that they've had since the beginning of the year and still being competitive is a great achievement in itself. But, you know, obviously it's Manning versus Brady, or should I say Belichick versus Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're right. Maybe it's good that Brady is not going to be feet-forcing the ball into one single guy like he used to do. And he's going to be forced to feed the balls to everyone. But I think Manning does that already. He's got so many weapons available that's what worries me. I think it's going to be a high score. And I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess we can win if Manning throws picks and if we can actually catch the ball that he throws in a bad way. And if we play a clean game, maybe we've got a higher chance. That's kind of what I think.
I believe 5 or 6 players caught passes from Tom Brady against the Colts. And that was mostly because they were having so much success running the football. I mean, Blunt had 166 yards and Ridley had 52 yards.
Agreed.
So they didn't need to pass the ball a lot, but I don't think Brady's ever a guy that just locks onto one player and tries to force the ball in there. I think if they will go to the passing game, they're going to have to do it with as many players as possible. So look for Shane Vereen to get a few targets out of the backfield or even line up in some type of wide receiver
catches
position.
Balls right now, because last week it didn't work out very well for him, for Vereen, because I think he dropped a few, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he had one or two drops. One of them was along the far sideline from where the camera was.
Yeah.
But, Todd, I think you pointed it out to me that it's going to have to be someone like a Vereen or maybe even an Austin Collie to step up.
I like Collie because, I agree. He's big. He's kind of a tight end, and maybe he can make a few plays. He can be the X factor.
He's not that big, and he's not like a tight end. He's more like a smallish wide receiver.
Yeah.
All right, Olivier, thank you so much for the phone call. Have some fun this weekend.
Should the Pats be victorious, I will take you out, and we will party like rock stars in New York.
All right, whoa. Okay, all right. Well, if you're going to throw something like this out there, no. If you're going to throw something like this out there, we need the the exact details of this kind of proposition. I mean, Olivia, you can't tease me like this. What are you proposing here?
Listen, talking about teasing, you're the master teaser. But yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin has my my information, my contact details, and
are you going to be in New York? First of all, let's start here. Are you going to be in New York City the week of the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not. Absolutely yes. Yeah, why not? Yes.
Well, if you're not going to be, then how do you expect to party with me?
No. If they go, I go for sure. Yeah.
All right. So if they go, where are you going to stay?
I'm not sure yet. Probably downtown.
Probably downtown, like the financial district downtown? That's kind of lame down there.
Manhattan, no? Yeah. I have no clue. I'll see.
All right.
Yet.
Well, the Maxim party's on Friday night. It costs $1,000 per ticket. If you want to party your butts off, then that's my proposition to you.
Oh, great. Okay? I didn't know you had tickets. That's fantastic.
No. You said you were bringing us out to the Maxim party.
Oh, no, I didn't say the Maxim party.
I'm telling you the Maxim party.
Oh,
I'm setting the deals. I'm setting these parameters.
Okay.
All right, Olivier, thanks for the phone call.
See you guys. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. You see what he does there, Todd? He tells us that he's going to bring us out to party. I tell him that it has to be the Maxim party if he wants to get together, and then he backtracks.
He said he party like rock stars. Rock stars are going to be?
Exactly. The rock stars are going to be at the Maxim party.
They're not going to be at Lou's Pizza Joint, you know, down the street from Enright's house.
They're not going to be at Famous Ray's.
They're going to be at the Maxim party.
Yeah, they're going to be at the Maxim party.
All right. Bill, we have some emails to get to before we take a break.
All right, what do we got?
They're kind of all over the place. And actually, Kevin, I think this first email was referring to your previous show. Want me to read it anyway?
Yeah, because we were off the air.
Okay. It's a long email. It's from Rachel.
Is it Rachel?
I don't know.
It is Rachel. She writes in all the time.
Yeah, it's Rachel.
She's a good, loyal listener to Patriots.com radio.
It's a long one. How do you want me to do this?
I thought it was
That's
Rich.
What she said, Todd. Hey,
are you guys sure it's Rachel? It could be Rich.
No, her name's Rachel. She writes in all the time. Her name is Rachel Rich.
It could be a man named Rich Rachel.
No, it's not.
It could be, though.
But it's not.
But it could be.
Read the email, Todd.
Do you think Baltimore had a better defense than Denver now does? The Pats scored 41 in that game without Gronk and Blount. It was just beginning to play with forced trauma. I think you guys are selling this team short in its ability to score, despite the cast of receivers they have.
Stop. Let me stop you right there.
They scored
41 freaking points because they scored like at least two garbage touchdowns with freaking what's his name, Numbnut, Tavares Axelrod, whatever the hell his name is, Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback.
I have no context to what this email is talking.
That's
about.
What I'm
talking
saying,
about,
Kevin.
She's talking about when the Patriots beat the Ravens earlier this year, Bill.
Yeah.
She's saying that the Patriots scored 41 points on the Ravens, which is inaccurate because the defense scored at least 14 garbage points on recovered fumbles in the end zone off Tyrod Taylor and pick sixes from Tyrod Taylor. They, in reality, probably scored like 27 points. Would you agree with that, Todd DeVries?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, and so she's making the point that the Ravens' defense is better than the Broncos, and if the Patriots scored 41 on the Ravens, they should be able to put up more against the Broncos, which is a ludicrous argument because they didn't score 41 on the freaking Ravens. That's all I got to say.
Okay, next email. I'm already fed up with this.
Well, she says the Pats are going to win at 31-23.
All right,
which is a realistic score.
Okay, that's fine.
But that argument that they're going to score more than 41 points is just asinine because they didn't score 41 points to begin with against Baltimore.
It's asinine to be addressing an email that was meant for another show that we are.
No, it's not. That's how we do things here. If we can't get to all the emails.
Just do it on the next show in terms of
that's what we do.
Having no context to what the conversation currently is?
Well, no, but we were never talking about the Baltimore game. She was bringing that up on her own. But we value our listeners. If we can't,
I value the listeners very much. However, why didn't you get to this on the show that you were hosting?
What was the timestamp on that email?
3:59.
Yeah, so it was like right at the end, so we didn't have time. So there you go.
You're making up for your lack of time management on your show to do it now.
That is true. It was my show.
All right.
I killed my co-host just like you killed poor Todd on Facebook.
Okay.
No. Well, Rachel is kind of crushing you and your previous host here, Kevin, because there's a lot of other points she's making here.
Well, that's fine, because she just made a completely idiotic argument.
Why is that idiotic?
Because the Patriots didn't score 41 points, Bill.
What was the final score of that game?
It was 41. But their offense.
I'm sorry. Start over again. How many points did the Patriots score in that game?
The whole team scored 41, but their offense didn't score 41.
Well, she's not saying offense or defense. She's saying the Pats scored 41 points.
If you'd listen to the email,
in that game without Gronk and Blunt,
she said they scored it against the Ravens' defense, which is inaccurate. It's a fallacy.
No, she didn't say that.
Yes, she did, Todd.
No, she didn't.
Read the email.
Pats scored 41 in that game without Gronk and Blunt.
Oh, then she's even more idiotic, because that just makes the whole statement is just garbage. They didn't.
I'll tell you, for someone that just tried telling me that you respect your audience a lot, you're calling this poor girl Rachel Rich, idiotic an awful lot.
Because the point is, first of all, it's completely ludicrous to relate that game to the game that's going to happen on Sunday.
I agree with you there.
And then to say because Baltimore's defense is better, which I'm not even sure they are. You know, but to compare them to Denver and say, well, the Patriots scored 41 points on them, which means they should score 51 because Denver stinks. Like, that's asinine, Bill. Come on.
I'm with you there.
You're better than that.
I'm with you there.
So that's all I'm saying.
But and you're arguing that the Pats didn't score 41 points that game.
Their offense did not score 41 points.
The team scored 41 points.
The team scored 41, but does that make me feel better about not having Rob Gronkowski and LeGarrette Blount contributing in that game? No, because they scored 27 points, Bill. I think one of the before the two garbage, I think weren't there two pick sixes in that game?
There was a lot of garbage.
I think there were two pick sixes and a fumble recovery in the end zone. I think there were three defensive touchdowns, if memory serves me right. There was at least two. The offense wasn't stellar. If you remember that game, they had chance after chance after chance to put their foot on the Ravens' throat and couldn't do it. It was 20-0 pretty much for the whole game, and they let him hang around. Flacco throws a touchdown, makes it 20-7 late in the third quarter. Patriots go 3-and-out. Flacco gets the ball back at midfield, only down 2 scores, and then pisses all over himself.
All right, we're off to a fantastic start here on Football Nation.
No, you got me fired up.
From our audience. We had Olivier telling me that we're going to party like rock stars and then take back his invitation to go to the Maxim party. And then we have Rachel emailing from a previous show to our show. So we're 0-2 on guest audience interaction right now.
Like Kevin, to close the loop, the Patriots scored 2 defensive touchdowns in the final 2 minutes.
There you go.
Chandler Jones fumble recovery.
And then Tavon Wilson, right?
Tavon Wilson, 74 yards with 40 seconds. Did they not, essentially, it was 27-7.
Did Logan Ryan have a pick six in that game earlier or no?
No.
No. But did he have a pick? I feel like Flacco turned the ball over a ton of times.
He had 2 interceptions, and that's it.
Yeah. I felt like they turned the ball over.
But Kevin, all I'm saying is instead you're arguing the wrong point.
Why am I arguing the wrong point?
You're arguing whether or not the Patriots scored 41 points. They did score 41 points.
Okay, Bill, they scored 41 points.
They did. I know. What was the final score of the game?
Their offense did not score 41 points, but the team scored 41 points.
Okay, well, that's what she said.
Okay, but if you're trying to tell me that the Patriots offense put up 41 points in that game, therefore it should make me feel better about them playing Denver because Denver's defense is worse. That's an asinine thing to say.
Well, that's the point that you should be arguing, not how many points the team scored, because we can see how many points the team scored by looking at the final score.
Well, their offense didn't play that good in that game. The Ravens just sucked that bad, I'll put it that way. The Patriots didn't even play that well in that game. The Ravens completely choked.
Hey, Josh from Stratford has an email, Bill.
The truth?
Just wanted to stop by and say Pats win this game 35-24 because just like you guys on Football Nation, the Pats are the truth.
Now, I wish Josh was a little bit more specific when he says you guys on Football Nation.
He means me and Kevin.
See, that's what I was worried about here. As long as he's referring to me somehow being involved in the truth, then I'm okay.
You have nothing to do with these emails. Kevin relays them to me. I read them. So it's Kevin and I that he's referring to.
But I feel like most of the people really are just trying to speak with me here, to be honest with you.
It is your show, Bill.
If we're being honest here, I think the fans know that they want to either get a rise out of me or they want me to agree with them. You guys can have run off and have your own little debate on your own. But when it comes down to it, I'm the people's host. They want to interact with me.
I will agree with that. You are a man of the people.
Okay.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah, I don't know about salt of the earth, but he's a man of the people.
What other emails do we have? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Did
We got the practice report, injury report. Want to go over that?
Sure.
All right, Patriots.
Everyone practiced.
Mankins, Vereen, full participation. Amendola, limited with the groin. Dobson, limited with the foot. Dante Hightower, limited with an ankle. Kimbrell Tompkins, hip/concussion, limited. Tom Brady,
didn't practice today?
No.
No, he practiced.
He's been removed. Yeah, Brady's back.
I think he has the flu, Bill.
I think he has conjunctivitis.
Well, it's going. Everyone else seems to be sick here, so I think it's going around.
Well, what kind of sickness?
Like a real bad flu, like stomach and vomiting and fever and all that good stuff.
If this was Drew Brees, we would have seen that DayQuil commercial 50 times.
Yeah.
You can't take days off in the NFL.
It's going around not only the team, but also the people kind of that work here that aren't, you know, I'll say in football ops. It's just going around the building in general, which is not good.
Are you getting sick?
I hope not, because I try to isolate myself down here in the studio. So as long as hopefully the PFW guys and the other hosts don't get it, I'll be all right.
What about all those marketing girls that you claim?
Yeah, a lot of them are sick, so I'm trying to you know hold them out from coming in here.
You got a big sign. No marketing girls.
They're beating the door to get in here and chill with me, Bill. But I'm just like barricading it shut to try to keep them back. You know,
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. What's up, Joel?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. You excited for an AFC Championship weekend?
Of course I'm excited. Of course I'm excited. First time call in, but of course I'm known to the PFW guys.
Okay.
Kevin seems like the only voice of reason. Yeah, y'all getting on Kev tonight. What's going on?
The voice of reason? Kevin? Yeah. Collins?
Kevin, you must
be listening to the wrong show.
No, but you guys, let me ask, I got one question. Kevin
Collins is the same guy that wanted to make an argument of making a fantasy football trade like Matt Stafford for Sam Bradford in like week two. You think he's the voice of reason?
He's the voice of reason.
Oh man, you haven't been listening long enough.
Okay, but you guys don't listen to Eric when Eric talked?
Who?
Eric.
The previous show, Bill.
Oh, I didn't listen to that show.
Well, you need to start listening, Bill.
I got plenty of other things to do than listen to another show that I'm not on.
Hey, we all Patch Nation, so we got to stick together.
Apps, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you here, but I'm not gonna listen to Kevin talk for 2 hours on a show before I'm with him. Then he talks for 2 hours on a show. You know, that's too much. I can't take it.
Hey, you know, but hey, look.
Now Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Yeah, Kevin's there for insight, all right.
Don't bust his you-know-what, you know. But hey, I got a quick question, guys.
What do you got, Bill?
Why is it that everybody put Peyton Manning over Brady? And Brady has won as far as with regular season and playoffs.
Joel, who's everybody? I haven't heard a lot of anyone do that.
I've argued all year that Brady's far beyond Manning.
All the time you hear it on ESPN, NFL Network, Peyton Manning is like this god of quarterbacks. He's number one. You know, of course he's a Hall of Famer, don't get me wrong. But, oh, you know, he's the greatest thing from sliced bread.
Joel, you haven't been watching or listening to the right people. Because Todd DeRees, my co-host on the show, and Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, and plenty of others, have consistently made the argument that it's not even a question which quarterback is better, especially in the postseason. Not even a question. The facts speak for themselves.
Right, I know that, but when it comes down to both Peyton Manning at the end of his career and Tom Brady when he retires, and they go from, okay, who was the best quarterback in the era of when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning played, they're going to put Peyton Manning before Brady.
No way. That's asinine.
Who will do that?
We don't believe that. We don't believe that. But I'm talking about the other media outside of Boston. We'll put Peyton Manning before Tom Brady.
I'll tell you this. If Manning wins the next two Super Bowls, then you have an argument. Other than that, it's Brady. It's going to be Brady.
I agree. I agree with you guys. I agree with you. I'm on the same bus you guys are on.
I thought Kevin was the voice of reason.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Listen to our predictions at the end of the show, because we'll see who believes in Brady and who doesn't. Trust me.
I don't do. And I do. I got a prediction. Last week, I predicted the Patriots to blow the Colts out, which they kind of did. You know, got away from them, you know, at the end of the game. But I predict this to be similar to the Colts game. I'm going to say 34-21 Patriots.
34-21
Yes.
Joel, let me ask you something. You admitted that you weren't a listener of our show before. Do you play fantasy football?
I'm a listener.
Do you play fantasy football?
I do.
So why haven't you been calling us all year and trying to get our top-notch fantasy advice? Don't you know that we're the truth?
I know you guys are the truth, and I listen. This is my first time calling in.
All right. I got gotcha. You. All right.
Normally, you know, I take lunch around like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I call, Fred and Paul. And
yeah.
Around like 4 to 6, I'm driving home, and I'm listening to you guys, go back and forth, and I appreciate you guys are very interesting as well. I like the fact how they do the show, that you guys are in New York and Kev is in Boston and at the Gillette Stadium. That's pretty cool.
Listen, I'm just trying to make the point that if you wanted sound fantasy advice and you listened to our show all year, there is no way in hell that you thought Kevin was the voice of reason. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
Hey, you guys don't. Yeah, no one give y'all slack for being in New York and being Patriots fans?
Who said I've never once claimed to be a Patriots fan.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me.
Hey, that just shows that we bring an unbiased opinion, which should be beneficial to the audience sometimes.
Oh, well, I don't know about that one. I don't know if y'all heard about the, I think it was like an MSN study that Patriots fans are the most unstable fans. Did you hear about that a few weeks ago?
What? Most unstable fans?
It's true. They're either way too high or way too low. They're like mentally unstable.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. We bring you a nice even keel here.
Yeah, they did like a psychological study on like different fan bases.
Yeah, we don't want even keel. We need to be either high or low. That's it. We don't want nothing in the middle.
Gotcha.
Well, all in right. That case, so if you don't win the Super Bowl, then you're not going to be happy with this year's season?
Of course not. I think it's a failure, to be honest.
Well, that's why, Joel, that is why Charles Barkley is 100% correct if you're under that opinion. That if you think the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl this weekend, you think this season was a failure? Are you serious?
I mean, we follow our leader. Bill's our leader. So, I mean, his thing is, every time we get the ball, what we expect to do, the score, we go out there and we expect to win every single game. We expect to win every single game at Super Bowl. If that doesn't happen, it's a failure. Period.
You lost two of your top targets in Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski. Gronk played, what, 5 games this year. Aaron Hernandez got arrested. Vince Wilfork landed on IR before October.
Matter.
Gerard Mayo was on IR. Brandon Spikes just got on IR. Aqib Talib missed a whole bunch of games. Tom Brady has been throwing passes to Danny Amendola, who has never thrown passes to before this season. Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson. You guys are in the AFC Championship despite all of these obstacles. And you think this season is a failure if you don't win the Super Bowl? Joel, my man, you're wrong about that. You're not going to convince me otherwise. You are not going to convince me otherwise. That is completely irrational on your part.
I'm going to give you the same answer Bill Belichick will give out to the media. We don't talk about injured players, and we don't talk about players that are not on the team.
Okay. Period. What does that have to do with this season being a failure?
So that means is that, hey, the next person that is up plays. If they play well, great. If not, hey, it's a failure, period.
You are one of 4 teams left in the NFL.
It doesn't matter.
You're in your 3rd straight AFC championship.
Doesn't matter.
Bill.
It doesn't matter. Look,
by Joel's criteria, Bill, they have been a failure for nearly a decade because they haven't won in 9 years, which is 3,290 days. They haven't won a title. So they've been a failure under Joel's definition for 9 years.
That just to me is just incredibly ignorant. But hey, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. We got to take a quick break here on Football Nation. More to come from the phone lines. Brian, you'll be up next as soon as we get back from this break. Hang tight.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Patriots.com radio, phone number 855-728-7500. We want your AFC championship predictions. And if you want to give us your NFC championship predictions, by all means, call us right now, 855-PATS-500. Quickly, we're going to the phone lines. Brian in Brighton. What's up, Bri?
Hey, why are his teammates punching Gio? I don't get it. Yeah, Lucia?
No, no. You lost me with what you said, but you still have the phone connection.
It was from It was from my previous call when I was complaining that Giovanni Bernard's teammate punched him in the back after he fumbled.
Oh,
okay.
I could see I left a real impression on you. Anyways.
Brian, I'm sorry. It's just, you know,
it takes something special to render Bill speechless, trust me.
Well, it certainly does.
With that said, remember me now, because I never played fantasy football before, but thanks to you listening to you guys all season, I'm definitely playing next year.
Nice. All right, well, we'd like to hear that. And make sure you check out ffchamps.com.
Yes, and well, that was the other thing. You guys keep mentioning this other show you guys do, and I looked on Football Nation. I kind of see it like, but is it a podcast, or is it only on the online, like on a browser that you can listen to it?
You can download us on iTunes as a podcast, or you can listen to us live on footballnation.com.
I'd like to, do you guys go to the off-season as well, or no?
We'll have some updates around the NFL draft, but usually we take March and April kind of quietly.
Yeah, we're usually August 1st through the Super Bowl, and then a couple shows around the draft.
Okay, cool. And so if we lose this weekend, Kev, do we do a show? Do you guys do a show on Tuesday, like a goodbye show, or
no?
Is it just bye?
No, it's just a harsh see ya.
Yeah, Kevin. I mean, Fred's harsh like that. He didn't even do it for the other show either.
That's all right. Hey, we whatever the boss man decides, that's what we roll with.
But if we win, we do have shows next week, Bill.
That's right.
Which is great. So I enjoy your opinions very much. I know you guys aren't Pats fans. I don't know what the previous caller was babbling about. But I can't see. Now that's my point. I also very much disagree with him. I've kind of chalked this up as a successful season, and I'm kind of throwing in the towel because I don't think the Patriots win this weekend. I just don't.
What's your prediction on the game?
I think it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to be like 31-17.
All right. Well, Brian and Brighton, I will certainly remember you now going forward. You brought up the Giovanni Bernard getting hit by his own fan. By his own teammate. You will now start playing fantasy football because of Todd and my advice, and you think the Pats are going to get blown out this weekend. So three things I'll remember you forever by.
Hey, there you go. Well, thanks for the love, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Time. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Todd, we have to stick with the phone lines because our good friend, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, joins us here on Patriots.com radio. What's going on, Kerry?
Bill and Todd, how are you guys doing? By the way, out of the gate, my cold hard football fact of the week. Tom Brady, as an underdog in his career, 29-13 against the spread. He bats nearly 700 against the spread as an underdog, gentlemen.
Kerry, before we get into the stats here, one of our previous callers kind of tried to make the case that if the Pats don't win this weekend and if they don't go on to win the Super Bowl, their season is a failure. Now, Todd brought up a good point, because if that's the case, then the last time we can consider the Pats a success would be when? 2004. 2005, I'm sorry.
2004 season.
Yeah.
Right, 2004 season.
Yeah.
But you know, based on your quality stats, Kerry, that Tom Brady is one of the most successful quarterbacks all time, and in fact, he's the most successful quarterbacks when you're talking about win-loss differential. Can you break down those numbers for us real quick?
Yeah, well, listen, guys, Tom Brady is, without doubt, the greatest winner in the history of the NFL. How about this? We took a look, as you referenced, at all-time win-loss differential, okay? Tom Brady is plus 116 wins to losses in his career. 166 total wins, playoffs and regular season, 166. Just 50 losses, that's plus 116. Bill, that is 23 games better than number 2 Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
37 games better than number 3 Joe Montana. That's how ridiculous it's been. Tom Brady's won 33 more games in his career than Joe Montana with 4 fewer losses.
Yeah, so that's why when people... That's why when people try to tell me that if you don't win the Super Bowl, you don't have your season's a failure. It drives me crazy.
Well, you know what? I got to admit, I live in Boston, right? So
yeah.
I've seen this for a while. With the fans in Boston are very spoiled. Remember, I think people are a little frustrated because it's been 3 whole months since the team from Boston won a world championship.
Yep.
So they're getting a little frustrated here, Bill.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was listening to another talk show this week. It was probably Monday or Tuesday right after the game. And the first thing I heard was a fan calling to complain about Josh McDaniels' play calling against the Colts. And is he trying to show off so he can get another job? I'm like,
really?
Okay, did they watch the same game that the Patriots just steamrolled a pretty good Colts team? And this guy was complaining about the Patriots' play calling. So I think that's a long way of saying, Bill and Todd, the expectations among fans in New England are very, very high. And understandably so, given all the success that not just the Patriots have had, but, you know, the other sports teams have had as well.
And you know what? That's fine. Yeah. I love for the fans to want a Super Bowl and really come to expect greatness from their team. I think that's great. But when you look about when you think about all the obstacles that the Patriots had to overcome this year, and to see them as the final four teams in the AFC Championship, one of two teams left in the AFC, you can't think this season's a failure. You just can't.
Well, listen, I'm with you. They've had a great season, but that's just a mindset. But I think, you know what, as football fans, right, we get greedy, right? As sports fans, if I told someone back in August, the Patriots are going to play the Broncos for the AFC title, they say, wow, that's pretty cool. But once you get to that point, you get greedy. You want more, right? Every game you want more, and we've all done that as sports fans. Oh, if we could only get past this game, and then you get to the next game, we get greedy. That's part of the fun, I think, of being a sports fan. So I agree it's a bit illogical, but that's you know, what being a fan is, right? It's not being logical. It's being a fanatic, and that's kind of how it is, you know? With that said, you're right. I mean, no team in the history of football has ever won so habitually, so consistently as the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots. It's ridiculous. I think they've averaged 13.4 wins per year, including postseason. Imagine that.
Including postseason, yeah. I mean, the Pats, listen, I made a somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek comment on Twitter earlier saying, you know, this seems like you know, this is our second year on Patriots.com radio. And I said, it seems like an annual occurrence. Oh, here's our expected AFC championship preview. Because it seems like it's happening every year. Pats have been in this is their third straight AFC championship. There's something very, very, honorable about that. I mean, you can't get much more successful. And they're 1-1 in the previous two.
No, and you know, not only that, they're 5-3 in the previous eight with, you know, Tom Brady at quarterback, or the what is it, 5-2 in the previous seven.
Yeah.
This is the eighth. I mean, nobody's done that. Actually, twice in the 70s, two teams in the 70s went to nine conference titles in the same span, in about a 12-year span, the Cowboys and the Raiders. But, you know, they didn't win as much as the regular season, and it was a different league back then, and they didn't get to the Super Bowl as many times. I mean, Tom Brady's on the cusp. You know, we keep talking about a legacy game, right? Tom Brady's on the cusp of going to six Super Bowls in 12 seasons on the field.
Which is crazy.
It's insane.
Let's just play a hypothetical here. Let's say the Pats and Brady, the team disbanded, Brady retired after his third Super Bowl. He would probably be considered one of the most just those three Super Bowls, one of the most successful postseason quarterbacks, as just from those three Super Bowl runs.
Yep.
But then you add on the two other Super Bowl runs that they lost, and even though they lost, it's still saying a lot that they made it back to the biggest game of the season.
Hey, I think there's still a lot of teams who have never even made one Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, the Lions have never been in the Super Bowl. The Browns have never been in the Super Bowl. You know, the Jaguars, you know, not that old a team. They've never been in the Super Bowl. It's not that easy to do, so I think I'm basically agreeing with you that it is very difficult, and I do think fans are spoiled. But part of the fun is just being greedy and wanting more, right? Whatever it is, sports or whatever, you want, people want more. You know, it's like, what's that commercial I'm thinking of where,
we want more. We want more.
We want more. Yeah, it's a commercial for a phone company or something.
AT&T with those little kids. Yeah. We want more.
The prevailing sentiment here, Bill, you probably agree, from the tweets we're getting, emails, phones, people seem to be really worried about the Patriots this weekend, that they can't, quote-unquote, hang with Denver as far as scoring points. I know you've had some interesting little stats that you can throw out to kind of you know, make people feel a little more at ease, the people that are worried about them losing if this does come out to be, wind up being the shootout?
Well, first of all, keep in mind the Patriots won last time they played in week 12, right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, they had the greatest offensive performance and greatest offensive spurt by any team this season and maybe in recent history. The Patriots, remember, coming out of the second half, coming out of the half, down 24-0, not only ripped off four straight touchdowns, 28 straight points, it took them 23 snaps to do it. We chronicled it play-by-play this week at Cold Hard Football Facts. 23 snaps, 28 points. I mean, that's insane. They just were unstoppable. And not only that, guess who scored more points over the second half of the year than any other team in football? The New England Patriots. 308 points to 287 for Denver since week 9 of the NFL season. So the Patriots right now are the offensive equal, if not better, than the Denver Broncos. They don't have the big name, maybe not all the big names, but how many times have we heard that story? If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm no more worried about this game than I would be any average game, you know, but the Broncos are a very good team, but the thought that the Patriots can't hang with them, to me, is a little ridiculous. I mean, the Patriots are a very good team, and right, like I said, over the second half of the year, probably the better offense. Go look at the scores. Look at the scores of those games. The Patriots have been a better offensive football team over the second half of the season.
When did Gronk go down? What week?
You know what, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Bill, remember?
I think it was, because sometime around week 12, 14, I don't really know.
Which week was it, Bill? Remember, Bill?
I'm trying to look it up.
Gronk went down, I don't remember off the top of my head, no.
Well, because the counter-argument to what Kerry is saying.
What week is December 8th?
That's about week 14.
14.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, the counter-argument to what Kerry is saying is, well, we had Gronk for some of those games, but, in weeks 15, 16, and 17, they still averaged in the 30s.
They had Gronk for seven games this year. They played over half the season without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would be the counter-argument, Kerry, is that, some of those stats are skewed because we had Gronk, but I think that they've been able to score without him.
No, they have. I mean, look what they did last week they hung 43 points on a pretty good Colts team. Don't forget that the Colts had beat the 49ers, had beat the Seahawks, had beat the Broncos. They had beat the Colts had beaten some pretty good football teams, and the Patriots, hung 43 points on them. They hung 41 on the Ravens, who were not a Super Bowl champion team this year, but weren't a bad team. And those are two games. So without Gronkowski, the last three games, and I'm doing it off the top of my head, 84, they've averaged almost 40 points per game. It's just, one absolute playoff club and the defending Super Bowl champion, then Buffalo, who they always beat. But I mean, that's pretty good. No team, no offense has been playing better in recent weeks. It's simple as that. And how do you like what Garrett Blunt? How about this, guys? The Patriots ran for six touchdowns, as we know, against the Colts. Just the third team in NFL history to do that in a playoff game. And the first was in 1940. So only two teams in the last 73 years have produced a display of power football like the Patriots did Saturday night against the Colts. So I think these are all reasons to, I'm not guaranteeing a win here, but these are all reasons to be encouraged. They really are if you're a Patriots fan. If you can't feel good about this team, you will never feel good about any team in any sport ever in your life at any time.
So how do the Broncos attack them here defensively, Kerry? The Patriots, obviously Tom Brady can get it done through the air if he needs to. Now they have this newfound running game with LeGarrette Blount. Yep. If you're the Denver defense, how do you start off the game? What are you trying to take away? Pick your poison.
Well, see, that's why the Patriots are in a pretty good situation, because I think you have to, and this is what I would do, you have to, granted the Patriots have run the ball well, but Tom Brady is their key guy, and you have to be prepared to stop Tom Brady. So I think that does, in fact, open up the ground game for the Patriots, and you'd rather, you're much better off getting gashed on the ground than you are through the air, because teams still gain a lot more yards through the air than they do on the ground. Look at the week 12. The Broncos ran for 280 yards against the Patriots.
Right.
And they still lost the game. Why did they lose the game? Because Peyton Manning had one of the worst games of his career getting the ball downfield. He averaged 4.2 yards per attempt. The second worst game of his career getting the ball downfield. I don't think people know that. The only other time he had a lower average per attempt was his rookie season in 1998. And the Broncos ran at will, but it's a game won by quarterbacks. It's a game won by the passing game. And I think if I'm the Broncos, I'm taking my chances letting LeGarrette Blount run the football and making sure I stop Tom Brady. Because at the end of the day, the big plays are almost always, not always, but almost always and usually in the passing game. And I think that's the way you have to look at any NFL game.
Kerry, are you willing to give us your predictions? I know you made a pretty accurate preseason prediction. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, why don't I do this? I don't want to give away, because we have all our real and spectacular picks at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. Charter, invite listeners at patriots.com to come to Cold Hard Football Facts. Click the Insider button. It's just $9.95 per week to become an insider, get all our great picks and analysis, and an incredible track record of postseason success. I will tell you this, though, Todd. Our preseason prediction was Seattle versus New England in the Super Bowl.
Same as mine.
So there you go. Great minds think alike. So I think, we break it all down in detail, but I'll tell you, that was our preseason pick, and I still think that's there are a lot of reasons to feel good about that prediction.
Well, there you go. Interesting set of games. The Final Four, I mean, I think you couldn't have asked for four better teams, honestly. I mean, this is what we all wanted to see, right?
Hey, how about this? We're all talking Brady, Manning, and Patriots, Colts, but the better game, the better teams, I think, quite frankly, are in the NFC, and I think that could prove the better game. I mean, two better defenses, hotter-hitting teams, young quarterbacks with a lot of talent. I'm really looking forward to that one, too. I think we almost forget that there's a heavyweight bloodbath on the undercard, and that's pretty exciting.
Kerry Berner from coldhardfootballfacts.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at footballfacts. Kerry, I'm a little upset that the second game is the Patriots, is the 49ers and the Seahawks. I kind of wanted the Pats and the Broncos to be that second primetime game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you and a lot of fans, and it's weird that usually, I guess it's the way it is because it's the later, not that it always works this way, but being the West Coast game, it would be the later game. But again, I think we all look, like I said, that's the undercard, and usually you want the marquee matchup to be the last matchup, right? You know, you don't have the biggest bout first, right? You have it last, but that's just the way it worked out. But you know what? It's going to be six and a half, seven hours of great football. And I don't think if we have to complain about who's playing first, I think we're sitting pretty as football fans, Bill.
We're looking forward to the weekend for sure, and especially these two big games followed up by the Super Bowl, which we can't wait for. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, gentlemen, you too. I'll talk to you soon.
There you have it, Kerry Berner from coldhardfootballfacts.com, bringing some statistical heat to the show. I like when Kerry joins us.
Absolutely. Bill, it's almost that witching hour, man. Are we going to do one more break before we get into our predictions? Because I'm chomping at the bit, my friend.
That's up to Kevin. And I also want to play Name That Player.
Oh, Name That Player. Okay. We can do that, too. Well, what do you want to do first? What's this plan?
We got to talk to the voice of reason. Kevin, what do we have to do here?
I think Kevin's answering phones right now.
All right. Well, then I guess we don't have to take a break. we can break in like 5 minutes. I don't know. The number here is 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500. We got an email while Kerry was on the line from Joel in Atlanta, who tried to convince me that the Patriots season is a failure if they don't win this weekend. Joel said, stats are for losers, wins are for winners. And I would argue that a win is a stat. So I don't know what Joel's trying to say there. You feel me?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines, Todd. 855-728-7500. Our good friend Russell in New York City is on the line, where the Super Bowl will be taking place in a couple weeks. What's going on, Russell?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. What's going on?
We haven't heard from you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. Actually, I just hit you on a tweet because I didn't even realize you guys were doing the show anymore, but that's me just doing short-sighted, thinking that once fantasy football was over that you guys just packed it up. So
football never sleeps.
Bad.
No, never no sleeps. Doubt. Russell, what do you have planned for Super Bowl week? It's coming to your home turf.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? Being the geek that I am, it's basically me and a bunch of boys with, you know, like ribs and barbecue and whatever and every prop. And, you know, I basically have a prop book, you know, that I'll be like, you know, printed out like 15 pages worth of props that I got to monitor throughout the game. You know, and I don't go for the coin flip or all that, but basically, you know, just about any player prop under the sun.
Now, Russell, let me stop you right there, because every year the prop bet I always make is who's going to score the first touchdown, right?
I love that bet.
I always go with the tight end, because I love the odds. The odds are always pretty good, you know, like last year, Dennis Pitta or Vern Davis. Is that a smart bet? I mean, have you looked at the, overall?
Well, they're not up yet, but I mean.
Yeah, we don't know who's playing.
A guy like Julius Thomas isn't going to get you a lot of cash. I mean, I usually go a little bit further down looking for the value, so we'll see what pops up. Actually, the other night I had not only LeGarrette Blount to score first TD, but I had him to score first Pats TD, so I got a double pop there. And I actually missed watching it, but apparently I got really lucky that the defender didn't run the touchdown in. So sometimes you got to get those breaks with the first
on the pick six that he stepped out the two.
Yeah, was it Dennard, I guess, or whatever? Yeah. I don't know. I just looked up and my account was like, you know, up a G, so I wasn't going to complain. But
nice.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, guys, I wanted to just follow up with you quickly because, you know, right at the end of the season there, I was popping in to talk to you about, you know, should I take the deal with this guy and my Super Bowl championship and whatnot.
Right.
And we ended up doing a pretty healthy split. We still played the game for something because my commissioner would have been pissed if the game had no meaning.
Right.
But I'm so glad I did the split because I got my ass spanked in the game. It was unbelievable. It was like my lowest point total of the season. It was like 160-80.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, I know Todd was, like, you know, not a big proponent of the split or didn't really know much about it, but that's just a way to cover your butt in case you get, you know, your head handed to you like that. At least
absolutely.
A couple of bucks in your pocket. So, yeah, I wanted to follow up with you guys on that. And then I just wanted to say, like, yo, thanks big time for this season, and I'm definitely going to subscribe to Fantasy Football Champs. I'll be on there, and I'll be following you every step of the way. When did you guys say you'd kick off next year in terms of looking at the draft stuff?
Probably for fantasy football draft, probably first week of August.
First week of August.
For the NFL draft, you can always find us on Football Nation. We'll probably have one or two podcasts up on for the NFL draft.
And we'll be at the draft again, probably.
And we'll be at the draft again, too, right.
Yeah, I'll be checking you out on Twitter along the way and everything like that. So,
Russell, two things before you go. One, let's try to get together when Super Bowl's in town in 2 weeks, New York City.
Absolutely.
I'll be there almost every day. And two, you got to check out coldhardfootballfacts.com because the king of props is on fire, especially for the playoffs. And if you're a prop guy, you'll want to check him out.
I got to check that out because I enjoy listening to Kerry Spott, and those guys know a lot of what they're doing. So I'll definitely pop on there and give those guys a pop as well for sure. You know me, I'm a NYC punter on Twitter there. I'm the guy with the little Masters. I'll be looking forward to the Masters too. I don't know if you guys are golf guys, but, I'll definitely hit you up, Bill, and we'll get that drink because I owe you guys one for sure.
Sounds good, Russell. Thanks for calling in and, have some fun this weekend with the AFC and NFC championship.
Enjoy the game. All right.
Take care. All right, Todd, I'm being told that we got to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll get down to our AFC and NFC championship previews. And, of course, we're going to play Name That Player. So you don't want to go anywhere. That's all coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, Patriots.com radio. I don't know if you heard, but the singer of this song, Bruno Mars, is actually going to be doing the halftime show of the Super Bowl, and I believe it's also sponsored by Pepsi. I'm not sure if you've heard about that news yet.
Never heard that before.
No, first time you heard of it.
Commercials on that or anything?
Me either. It's surprising that they're not promoting this more.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars will be the halftime show performer, and also Red Hot Chili Peppers is joining him, and it's also sponsored by Pepsi.
There you go.
In case you weren't already aware.
Yeah. Well, thanks for plugging it again, Bill.
You're welcome. I got a couple things to get to before the end of the show. We want to play Name That Player. We want to give our predictions for the AFC and the NFC Championship game. We'll also give a little bit of a preview of these matchups. I think we should start off with Name That Player. Now, it's a game that we introduced last week, because Todd and I have already played this game on another radio show earlier in the day. We did it with Kevin last week. He went 3-1. I asked the questions to Todd. He went 3-1. I asked the questions to Kevin. He went 3-1. Today, Todd asked me the questions. I went 2-2. So I didn't do as well as Kevin or Todd did last week, but we'll see if Kevin can do as well as I, or as bad as, depends on how you look at it. We'll see if Kevin can beat my record. I went 2-2 earlier in the day. I got to tell you, Kev, the first two stumped me.
They're tough, huh?
I got the last two right. I got the first two wrong. So best of luck to you.
So just before we start, Todd, how many clues do I try to guess after one, or do I wait for you to finish?
It's a good question. I have five clues for every player, but if you don't get it after the first two or three, they start getting really easy.
So I know not to just try to guess after the first. There's That's all I
basically
need to know.
I'm gonna give you probably two, maybe three clues, and
sounds
then
good.
You really have to get it.
Oh, sounds good.
All right. Player number one. All right. I have in this season 1,070 total yards on the season and two total touchdowns. 1,070 yards, two total touchdowns.
Total yards, right?
Total yards, total okay. touchdowns. I went to LSU. I wear a jersey number that is under the number 20.
I wear a jersey number that's under the number 20, and I went to LSU. Stephen Ridley?
See, that's what I guessed, Kev.
No?
The LSU thing, that I just jumped all over that. As soon as I heard LSU, I forgot about all the other clues, and I jumped all over Stephen Ridley.
So I'm
and,
right.
And that
so
was a mistake.
You got it wrong, but let's see if you can get it anyway. Only 24 of my total yards this year came from receiving and rushing.
Oh, okay.
So he went to LSU. He wears a low number, and he had 1,070 yards total, but only 24 of them were by rushing or receiving.
I don't know.
See, after that last clue, I got it.
I don't know.
The last clue will give it to you. I once returned both a punt and a kickoff for a touchdown in the same playoff game.
Yeah. See, I don't know who returns kicks for the Seahawks, or the I don't know any of the return guys from the NFC.
Trindon Holiday.
Yes. Yeah. Or I don't know him either. I mean, he's not even worthy of being known. He's a choking dog.
Trindon Holiday. What?
Choking dog. He likes to
probably one
a lot.
Of the best return guys in the game.
I disagree. I think he could be one of the reasons the Patriots win this game. I think he's a car wreck waiting to happen.
Okay. 0-for-1. Player Continue. Number 2. NFC. All right, I'll give you that from the start.
Okay.
First clue. I was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year in 2005.
The Big Ten. I was like a freshman in college.
Yes, I'm a former fourth round pick.
Wait, so he's the Big Ten. He's an NFC player. Go slower. You're
okay. Cloud.
So he's an NFC player. He's the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. Did you say?
Yes.
Okay, and he. What was the third one?
He is a former fourth-round pick. So former he was drafted in the fourth round. I've got two more clues before they start.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
I made the Pro Bowl in 2011.
Okay.
And I was drafted by the team that I'm playing this week.
I was drafted by the team I'm playing this week.
So it's NFC. So he was. He's pretty much split his career between these two teams.
Just give me another second. I'm just trying to think.
Bill, is he going to get this?
No.
No, because I was too young.
Not really, Kev. It's not like you were 8. You were a sophomore in college.
I was too busy slaying chicks when I was a sophomore in college. I'm paying attention to football. I have no idea. I give up.
He's a fullback.
Fullback? Who's the fullback for the Seahawks?
Quick, Google it.
I have no idea.
Michael Robinson.
Okay.
He
went to
either.
Penn State and played quarterback, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't get that
player
one.
Of the year.
So I wasn't even close.
So at least I know who he is, but it's just like, I mean, I don't know. I also will plead ignorance to not knowing much about the NFC. Definitely.
All right. Well, the next one is AFC.
Okay.
I had my best years catching passes from the quarterback that I'm playing against this week.
Wes Welker?
Don't guess.
No?
How are you going to get? See, I won.
But he,
how are you going to guess after one clue?
But he didn't have his best years catching passes from Tom Brady?
That's not the player that we're talking about.
Okay, but that's still an accurate statement, though, so it's a bad question.
But it's an incorrect guess.
It's a bad question. Because
well, he didn't,
you can't.
You jumped to conclusions before Todd was done giving the clues.
You can't make incorrect statements then.
You should have waited. That's not an incorrect statement.
Okay, but then there's more than one answer.
No, there's not.
Oh, my God.
You messed up and you answered too quickly.
So you won't agree that Wes Welker's best years were catching passes from Tom Brady?
That's not what we're debating here.
Okay, case closed. I win.
Not really. You jumped to conclusions about who the player was.
I've only caught 7 balls this season for 78 yards.
7 balls for 78 yards. So it's
say Wes Welker again.
No, it's going to
be. Say Wes Welker again.
It's going to be college.
Say it again.
But, like, I don't know.
I once caught 60 balls in a season.
I said Colley.
It's Colley.
Yeah. No, I know.
1 for 3. Oh, no. You didn't even 0 for 3.
No, 0 for 3. But that's a terrible question.
No. Kevin.
You can't start Kevin, off with that.
Kevin.
What I'm saying is accurate.
Did you answer too quickly?
No, because you made a statement. I reacted to it and gave the correct answer. Or a correct answer. One of probably more than one correct answer. But continue. Go ahead. 4.
See, I am going to side with Kevin that he should get that one because he jumped the gun. He kind of broke the rule. But
I gave you a correct answer. Admit to that question, Todd, that one statement that you made, is it not correct to say Wes Welker? That's all I'm saying.
Both are correct.
Yes, both are correct. But if you had said Kev, you have to wait. Okay.
But I told you, wait a couple.
Okay, okay.
A couple.
Keep going.
Clues in.
Zero patience.
Zero patience.
Just like your fantasy team. Just like the way you run your fantasy team where if a player is not performing in week one, you want to trade him right away.
Got to get rid of him.
Got to get rid of him.
Absolutely.
No patience from you.
Yep, all right, you're right.
Last one. We're going back to the NFC.
Okay.
Okay. I once lost an.
Wait. Before you give him this one, be very careful, Kev.
So wait. Okay. Gotcha.
Because you're thinking of something, and you really have to step outside the box for this one.
Okay, I'll let Todd get at least 2 clues out.
All right.
I once lost an AFC title game to the Steelers. I went to Michigan.
Okay.
I'm going to give you one more.
So I know the obvious one. Wait, did you say it was an NFC?
NFC.
Oh, okay.
But I once lost an AFC title game to the Steelers.
I went
to Michigan.
Okay.
And listen to this one carefully, okay?
Okay.
One of the teams I played for is the same former team as a famous quarterback playing this weekend.
Oh, you just lost me. This is too complicated.
Here, I'll give you. All right.
So he went to Michigan. He's an NFC player that went to Michigan, but that must have played in the AFC because he lost to the Steelers.
And his former team, and this guy's former team is also the former team of a legendary quarterback playing this weekend.
There's only one quarterback this weekend that has a former team, so you should be able to figure that out.
No, I'm trying to think.
Now, let me give you one more clue. My brother is also in the league. Can I give him one more clue? Bill, this is up to you.
Here's what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
There's only one quarterback this weekend has a former team.
So it has to be a former Colt.
Okay. And his brother is in the league.
I honestly don't know. If it jumped out to me, I would say.
Can I give him one more clue, Bill?
Yeah, give him one more clue.
Yeah.
I retired from playing
in the NFL after
2001.
Oh, it's not even a current player. Oh, I was trying to think of a current player.
Well, that's why I tried to warn you. You have to step outside the box.
Oh, I have no idea.
Come on. Yes, you do. Former player.
I throw hissy fits on the sideline.
Oh, Harbaugh?
There you go.
Yeah, but I would have never got that.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm not smart enough. Or I'm just, like, honestly, I didn't start paying attention to football until I was, like, out of college. I mean, not seriously pay attention. Because, like, you're not going to sit there and watch football every weekend when you're in college.
Well, on Sundays, what else were you doing?
I don't know. Doing something. Productive.
Studying, watching football.
Getting laid. Something like that.
Whoa!
A little afternoon delight. You know what I mean, Bill?
No, I was watching football. I got all my delights in.
No, I mean,
Monday
I watched football,
Saturday.
But was I, like, sitting there, like, really, like, getting, not at all.
You didn't play fantasy in college?
We didn't start. We started my junior year, and I got to admit, I was, like, the worst fantasy player ever in college, because I was that guy that never set his lineup. He had guys on IR.
What a monumental turnaround you had.
I got kicked out of my banishment. No, from my fantasy baseball league because of that.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Yeah. Because I was just like, oh, this is for losers.
Here's this explains a lot, Bill.
You have no patience for fantasy baseball. I don't have any patience for fantasy baseball.
No, I got kicked out of the league because I would start a bunch of guys that were on the DL every week.
That's
not on purpose, but I just never look.
So, Bill, did he go one for
no,
four?
No, I went 0 for 4.
We'll give him the collie one because you did guess correctly.
Yeah, those,
I'll give
those
you the collie.
You just jumped the gun.
Those are tough
but
questions.
You just jumped the gun.
Tough questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I only went to. There was no way I was getting.
They were way harder than
fullback.
Bills. Bills were at least fun because you had a shot at guessing them.
Bills were like Marshawn Lynch, Tom Brady. You know.
Yeah,
at least they were current freaking players.
And you still got one wrong, Todd. So you know.
But at least they were current players, though.
We'll dummy it down next time for Kevin. We'll come up with
a special one for Kevin. Let's say
name the two teams in the Super Bowl.
That type of thing. You know, that's good. I like those.
All right, well, there's only a few minutes left in today's show. Hopefully it's not the last show of the year, because I feel like...
Well, let's start off with the NFC game.
Well, we have to make our predictions to see if we think it's going to be.
I just feel like if today was the last day of the show, it's so anticlimactic.
Well, let's start with the NFC, because the Patriots, even though they're playing first, that will determine whether we're here or not next week.
Right.
NFC. Okay. Bill.
Yeah.
Who you got?
I actually think this game is going to be higher scoring than the Patriots and the Broncos. I have the Seattle Seahawks because I think that playing in Seattle has been the kryptonite for the San Francisco 49ers, and they've been playing better football than any of the four teams remaining. I think the 49ers are the hottest team in the NFL right now, but I think playing in Seattle just is their Achilles heel, and I think the Seahawks are going to win. I think it's going to be 34-27. Is that right?
34-27. Okay.
Is that the right score?
You had 31-24. Very
31-24. I have
similar.
I
very similar. Yes. Okay. Kevin, do you want to go?
It's up to you guys.
Go Seattle or
yeah. I'm gonna take Seattle. I'm gonna go Seattle 20, San Fran 16.
Okay.
I am taking the Seahawks as well. They were my preseason prediction. I think the Niners will play better than the last two times they went up to the Great Northwest. The last two times, Kevin, they were outscored 71-16 combined. I think the score here will be 26-17. Defensive touchdown for Seattle will ice it.
Cool.
All right?
Yep.
All three of us have Seattle.
Yes.
Yep.
I think I have the slimmest margin of victory.
You do.
3 points or something like that?
Four,
because I think the only reason I chose 16 instead of 17 is because I think San Francisco, one of their kind of Achilles heels last week, even though they won, was they settled for a lot of field goals. So I think they're only going to score one touchdown and kick 3 field goals. So that's why I got the 16.
Got it.
Fair enough.
Moving on to the AFC. Bill.
Yes.
What do you got?
This may not be a popular opinion for our radio audience, but I'm going to give it anyway, and hopefully for the sake of this show, my opinion is wrong. And so hopefully for the fans out there, my opinion is wrong. But I think the Broncos are going to win by a score of 24-21.
Okay.
Nice.
Is that
tight
the right
game.
Score?
Nice tight game.
You had 24-20 earlier.
24-20, yeah, that's what I meant.
I'll go next here, and then, Kevin, you can finish off. I had the Patriots and Seahawks in the Super Bowl in August. I got to stick with it. I think it'll be high scoring. I think it'll be an epic game. I think it'll be the last time Brady and Manning ever play each other in the playoffs. It will be 34-30. The Broncos will be leading, and Tom Brady will lead them on a game-winning touchdown drive, Kevin, throwing a screen pass to Shane Vereen for 8 yards. 37-34, Patriots.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, young DeVries.
And we will have shows next week, goddammit.
Okay. All right. I think that if Denver scores over 30 points, I think the Patriots have no shot. I don't think they can win a shootout. I'm going to stick, much like Todd did with his preseason prediction for a Super Bowl matchup, I chose Denver and Seattle. I'm going to stick with Denver. I think that they're the better football team all around, and I don't think the Patriots are going to be able, with the way that their offense is presently constructed after the loss of Gronk, I don't think they can score enough points. I'm going to go Denver 30, New England 27. And I think it's going to be death by butter knife, as I said in the previous show, where the Patriots are in the game and maybe even tied into the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. And much like Peyton did to the Chargers last week, where he went on that 4-minute drive and, you know, just basically bled the clock out, I think it's going to be something similar, and Denver will set up and kick a game-winning field goal with not much time left.
All right. So the two of you need to say goodbye. And I refuse to say goodbye because the Patriots are going to win this game.
Well, I sure as heck hope they win. But just going off, you know, kind of just really thinking about it all week and looking at the, you know, I'll say the last month for each team, I think Denver is going to really focus this week, and John Fox is going to focus on trying to stop the run, take the run away like he did the Chargers. The Chargers were too stubborn and would not stop trying to run the ball and dug themselves a 17-0 hole. Yeah. I don't think the Patriots are going to do that. I don't think they'll be guilty of that. In fact, I went out on a limb and got hammered, probably rightfully so, earlier. And I think the Patriots are going to come out and try to throw the ball because I think Denver's weakest part of their defense is their back end, their secondary. Not only is it injured, but it's old, and I don't think it's particularly good. I think they'll go after guys like, you know, Quentin Jammer got lit up by Keenan Allen last week when they finally started throwing the ball. I think they're going to try to throw it. I just don't see how they can score in the 30s, given the way their offense is presently constructed. So that's all I got.
Kevin, do you feel like Brady and Peyton have met 14 times? This will be the 15th time they've met, fourth time in the postseason. Do you think this game, just heading into it, do you think it has the makings to be top five? All time in this rivalry.
Yeah, I think this could be a classic. I think this could be an instant classic.
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, and hopefully for the fans, like not just for like Patriots and Broncos fans, but just for fans of the league that really wanted to see this matchup at least one more time, I hope it's a great game for everybody. I hope both games are great.
I think it will be.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, Bill, like we talked about earlier in the week, these are the matchups people wanted. You know, these are the four best teams, and everyone's getting what they want. The league's getting what they want. Ratings should be through the roof. So let's hope that the games live up to all this hype.
I think they will.
I agree.
So go Pats. Hopefully I'm wrong. But
that's
Kevin and I
are wrong.
I'll let you know this, guys. I'm not going, which is fortunate because if my prediction comes through, I wouldn't want to be out there for that. Nor would I want to be on the plane. I'm going to watch this game. Normally I watch the games with the host of our pre- and post-game show, along with Andy and Paul, the two PFW writers. I'm going to be in solitude in a room, locked in a room by myself for this one, because I'm going to be a nervous wreck, and I'll be kicking walls and throwing things and cussing. It's not going to be pretty.
Would you have rather been...
It's hard. It's a hard thing, but the way that I looked at it, Bill, was like, I was just like, listen, I've been to Denver. I've seen them play. I've been on a team trip out there. Like, I've done all that. Like, whatever. If they were going to win, of course, like, it'd be awesome to be out there. If they're going to lose, it stinks. But even if they win and I miss out on that, I know that I'm going to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So there's, like, greater things. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
I was just going to say, if the game was in New England, would you still not want to be there?
No, I'd want to be here. I mean, obviously, I'd have my job to do, but, like, even when – it's funny. Like, people have mentioned this, like, you know, friends are at the game or, like, family are at the game or whatever, and they just kind of, like, watch me for, like, 5 minutes, and I stay away – I try to stay away from everybody. Like, I don't want to talk to any – like, I just want to do my job, and, like, it's just weird. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to look at anybody. Like, for those 3 hours, I just want to be in complete isolation. It's very strange. I've been that way ever since I was a kid. I remember in 2001, you know, when the Patriots won their first championship in, like, I guess it was technically 2002 calendar year. But I was like 15 or 16, and my parents and my whole family gathered to watch the game, and it was like this huge thing. And I was like alone in the kitchen with the tiny crummy TV just because I wanted to be alone, and I couldn't, like I just couldn't handle it because half the people in there were saying stupid things that were just moronic, and I didn't want to listen to and snap on somebody. And two, just, I don't know, I just, there's something weird about, like, I can't, Bill, like, no matter what team it is, if it's the Red Sox, like, if the Bruins are playing in the Stanley Cup, I can't be, like, in a crowd or, like, in a bar or something. I need to be able to, like, control the TV, like, you know, be able to rewind it if you have DVR, all that type of stuff, and just want to be, like, left alone. It's very strange. I'm an odd creature. But I hope you guys gather with people and have fun. But just think of me as Manning and them are driving late in the game with a chance to win, just absolutely blowing a gasket and tearing the studio apart.
Sounds good to me. I think you'll end up having a good weekend.
We'll find out.
What do you mean? He just predicted his team's going to lose.
Yeah. Well, I still think he'll have a good weekend.
I mean, let's put it this way, Bill. We're both taking Denver, right? and we're both taking them by pretty slim margins, thinking it's going to be a great game, possibly an instant classic, right? We're not saying the Patriots can't win. They have more than a puncher's chance in this.
Absolutely.
But if you're asking us, Bill, to make an educated prediction off what we've seen and what we think based off of who's playing, who's not playing, and past performance, I don't think you can really fault anybody, Bill, for picking Denver in this game. You really can't.
The line's, what, 5.5? Five?
It opened at 6.5, and then it went down to 4, and now it's back to 5.5.
Right.
So we're all taking them to cover.
Yes.
Not that we're picking that way, but I'm
just
saying.
But I'm just, but yeah, but I don't think, you know, I think that people, Bill, I think it's, and Todd, I think it's simple. Like, people that say the Patriots don't have a chance to win, I think are ignorant. And I think people that, you know, are saying Denver doesn't have a chance to win are ignorant too. So it's like, you can't really fault somebody for picking. The spread's small enough and both teams are good enough where you can't really fault anybody for picking one way or the other. And I think, Bill, like, I don't know about for you personally, but one of the tipping points for me is, like, obviously home field. Obviously the weather's great. Like, it's basically summer weather, 60 degrees, sunny, no wind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have Peyton basically in his – Peyton on his home field – in his environment, you know, Bill, like basically, you know, neutral conditions, like perfect conditions.
You.
So it's like those things, I think, hurt the Patriots, and it's really hard, I think, against. And, you know, Manning's been listening to, you know, all the criticism and all this nonsense about how he can't win the playoffs and all this stuff. I think you're going to see a different Peyton Manning and a guy that's not going to throw that big pick. But we'll find that. We'll find out. I sure as heck hope he does, Bill. But we'll find out.
Now listen, if the Pats happen to lose this weekend, this will be the last show of the season.
Yes.
So I'm only saying this once. Don't expect me to say it next week if the Pats win and we got the show and we're signing off for the last show for the Super Bowl. I'm only saying it once. I love you both very much. I enjoy doing the show with you guys, and I always have a lot of fun. That's all you're getting out of me.
Okay.
I'm not doing it again next week, and I'm saying goodbye and then all over again. I'm doing it now just in case this is the last time.
Well, I appreciate
I do have a lot of fun with you guys, and I enjoy doing the show with you for a whole season. It's a long time.
It's right back at you.
Right back at you, exactly.
Thank you both very much. And to the audience out there, yeah, all three of us love our Patriots.com radio audience.
And we hope to see you Tuesday.
Ah, there you go. That's a good way to sign off. Enjoy the weekends, and we hope we see you Tuesday.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.